Hello, and welcome to Motherhood in Hollywood, episode 121. Today, we're going to talk about my birthday, but we also have a very special guest to do that. Yay! Here we go.
Come on, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited because this week is my birthday week, and I'm going to be 25. Yay! You can call me a liar if you want.
Chris is I'm like, just appalled that you would say something like that.
Chris is like, do I have to go along with this lie? You do not have to go along with my lie. It is true. I'm going to be 41.
Wow.
Do you know, I know you know of all people, how hard it is for me to actually say that number out loud, much less to the tens of people that listen to Motherhood.
It was very difficult for you to do that. I remember from last year with the big 4-0.
Yeah.
What an ordeal that was.
I'm still pretty scarred. And you know what was kind of bullshit about turning 40 is that everyone's like, it's fine. You're not going to notice any different. It's just a number. Age is just a number. Well, fuck that. Because I have literally had some of the worst health problems of my life since turning 40.
It was like a switch got flicked and you started just falling apart. Just disintegrating before my eyes.
I was right to be concerned that 40 was coming because I've had surgery for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
Besides the C-section, which doesn't count because that's for birth. That's for babies. But I had C-section. I've been to doctor's appointments like crazy. Like,
it's been a busy year for you.
It's been a busy year. Mm-hmm. And that's a lie to everybody who says age is just a number and that 40 is no big deal. It was a big deal for me, and I feel much older now, definitely.
But on the plus side, you're looking at turning that around.
Yeah, I'm trying to. For those of you following along at home, I am doing a wellness journey, and I'm kind of trying to find little things that, not even little things, but things that could possibly help me to feel better. And this all came about because when I turned 40, I somehow like dislocated or pulled a muscle in my back and dislocated my arm or something. So like I couldn't lift my arm for like 2 months and I kept thinking, no, it's going to get better.
Well, you did some physical therapy for that too.
Right. And, yeah. For like 6 months. Yeah. And I kept thinking, no, it's going to get better. And it still hurts to this day because I don't do my exercises enough. That's totally my fault. But like that was the first thing that happened like right after my birthday. And mm-hmm. I was like, what the nut? What's going on? And then from there, it all kind of went downhill with like gallbladder attacks.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. And then just the overall feeling of being tired and I think stress the F out. What I've been reading a lot more about lately is like, the adrenal glands and how important they are. And like, if you get overly stressed or you have like too much going on, you can kind of like fry them out. And that's why your engine never can like rev up again.
You live in a perpetual state of too much going on.
Yes, I do.
You work a lot. Bottom line.
I do. Well, I have dreams and goals and stuff. Psh, I want to get done.
Dreams. What are those?
What are those? And like stuff I want to get done. And I feel like every moment, and I felt like this, honestly, I think since I just started working and I don't know why, but every moment that goes by that I'm not moving towards my goals or getting something done is a wasted moment. So, or like wasted time. Now that doesn't mean I can't like vacation and relax a little bit or whatever, but I especially kind of started developed that mindset when I became an actor. Because what would happen is...
The constant hustle.
Yeah, but anytime we'd sit down to watch a TV show or sit down to watch a movie, and I'd be like, who is that fat bitch? What, how did she get that part and not me? And I immediately start...
Yeah, that's true.
I would like look up the part.
I can't watch TV with this woman.
You
Okay. Or movies.
It's not just that bad anymore. I don't care anymore. Now it's like...
It was like that in news, too.
It was like that in news, yeah.
Very much in news.
I did. I was like, how did they get this story? Why didn't I have this story? Yeah. I'm just always... I'm also just really competitive.
Yeah, you are.
Really competitive. It's something that people don't know about me that because I can disarm them with my charm.
Sure. Keep telling yourself that.
Shut up. That's rude. But no, I'm really competitive.
Yeah.
I will see, you know, I would see other actors on TV shows and stuff and be like, why, how did they get this part? I didn't even hear about it.
Right.
So I would look up, you know, the role and the breakdown or whatever, find out when it was released, who cast it. And I used to email my agent and go, hey, why didn't I get this? And, you know, they were like, because you just didn't.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Right. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. But it's not cool. Like, it kills me to my core that Melissa McCarthy is as successful as she is. And I do, you know, I have a lot of respect for her in that she's very funny and she has owned her space.
Yep.
But it's, you know, that I'm incredibly frustrated because she and I did the same thing for many years, like comedy, sketch comedy.
Yep.
We competed. I get compared to her all the time. We're looking for a Melissa McCarthy type, blah, blah, blah. And somehow she rose above it all and like became a massive success. I wonder if part of it is just like jealousy, like maybe it's just like petty jealousy.
A little bit, maybe. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with being jealous.
I'm willing to admit that, yeah, for sure.
It's just, it's kind of how the dice were rolled, and mm-hmm. you know, you're thinking, oh, what if, you know?
And I do have to remind myself too, especially when it comes to Melissa McCarthy, that she was out here like 10 years before me.
Sure. Sure.
And she also had like famous relatives in the business.
Well, I think that's another thing that's working kind of against you a little bit is you're on this timetable. You have this perceived yeah. timetable in your head. And we've talked about this a little bit of how, you know, you want to have this done bump in this time frame and stuff like that. And it frustrates you when people don't like respond to you in a certain right. amount of time. And
it's infuriating.
Yeah. Yeah. But everyone else has their own timetable, too. So it's just kind of what you have to deal with. And I think that adds to your stress.
Well, I think in terms of like the response, when people don't respond to me right away for an email or text or message or whatever, I get mad because I'm like, don't they know what a big damn deal I am?
Yeah. That's well, and there's also the entitlement issue that you're constantly facing.
Don't they
well.
Know how lucky they are that I took the time to email and all this stuff?
I think we've pinpointed the problem.
Maybe a little bit.
We're getting warmer.
Here's the thing, though. I've always felt this pressure to get stuff done quickly because the older you get in this business, the less and less opportunities there are, especially on camera. Like, you know, I'm looking at other areas and other avenues for creativity.
Well, that's how this podcast started.
Right, exactly. But I never have given up on wanting to be an actor. I've never given up on wanting to star in my own show not my own show, but like star in a scripted show. I was thinking last night, like there's some, the first award season like event happened last night. It's the Film Academy's kickoff to award season.
Okay.
And they honor like filmmakers and stuff. So I was looking at that and I thought, man, I'm about to be 41 years old. And I have never been in a major feature film. So the odds of me actually one day getting to win that Oscar or getting nominated or getting to even that point that all little actresses and actors mm-hmm. dream about of get, you know, winning an Oscar seems so insurmountable and so far away.
There are actors and actresses that got a late start who have yeah. gone on to success. Yeah. None of their names are in my head right now, but I'm
the
certain.
The old lady from Titanic.
Yes, the old lady from
but
Titanic.
She had been acting, I think, like her whole life.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, so I interviewed. One of the things I want to mention is that I went to a press junket yesterday for the new Sony animation film, The Star.
Yes.
And I got to interview Zachary Levi cool. and Gina Rodriguez, which was really cool. And also Patricia Heaton, and then the director of the film as well. And one thing that struck me is very interesting. First of all, Zachary Levi is so funny and yeah. so charming.
Yeah, he is.
And just like a really genuine, at least he seemed that way. I'm super suspicious now of everybody because of all the shit that's happening in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I'm
that's
like, maybe not. But he genuinely seems like a nice, affable guy.
That's what I've heard.
And he said something in the press junket where he was like, I had asked him about Shazam.
Yeah.
I'm
so glad you asked him that. That's
yeah,
great.
About his role in Shazam. And he immediately was just like, I am so excited for this opportunity. I'm so humbled by it. He's like, I've been working in this business for 20 years and I never in a million years would have thought I would get an opportunity like this. You know,
it's a big movie.
Yeah. And he had this moment of like true humiliation. And I thought, he's been working for 20 years in this yep. business. Like he seems like he's just barely 20. But I thought.
Well, Chuck was on 10 years ago.
No.
Yeah, I think.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure.
Huh. I'm going to look up on the internet device. Yeah, I guess maybe it was. I feel like we watch it out here, but we have been here for 12 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said he's been working in this business for 20 years and he never thought something like this would happen. And I thought, wow, he's been working for 20 years and is just now doing like a major film. Like, I know he's done other movies before.
Well, he was in the Thor movies.
No.
Yes, he was.
What was he in the Thor movie?
He was one of Thor's buddies back in Asgard. He was the guy with the sword. Can't think of his name right now.
Guy with the sword.
Everyone's
Sandral?
Name.
Sandral?
Sure, yes.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the last Thor movie, Dark World, and he was in the current Thor movie, but he died like within 30 seconds being on screen.
How can he be one character in a Marvel movie and then a different character? Is Shazam in the Marvel world?
No. Shazam is a DC movie.
Oh, so that's how they can get
yeah.
away with that.
Yeah. Well, they can get away with anything.
He's also in a new TV show, Alias Grace, that one that I started to watch the other day.
Yeah, yeah, on Netflix, right?
That I was like, ooh, this looks like a heavy wine-drinking drama.
He was on Heroes Reborn, so yeah, he's got a really good TV resume.
Now I'm looking at it, and now I'm like, oh, well, it's not so surprising then, because he really does have a ton of credits. He was a recurring on, or regular on Less Than Perfect with Sherry Shepherd. So, I didn't know that. He's been around forever. Pfft. All right. It's not that surprising, then, that he would get this part. But my point is that...
Long way around.
Chuck was in 2008, so yeah. Chuck Bartowski. 2007. You're right, honey. That's when the first TV show series landed. Good job.
Listeners, please mark this down. I was actually right, and she admitted it. If you're taping this podcast, please send that
who's
clip back to me.
Who's taping?
I don't know. I don't. You're right. I just want proof that you
put
admitted
your
I was
tape
right.
Down. If you're taping this podcast, please let me know because I can help you. But yeah, 2007. Wow, you have a better sense of time with TV shows than I do. I'm like, wasn't Dallas just on the other day? Anyway, I'm super impressed with Zachary Levi. I thought he was really lovely. And it's so nice to see somebody who clearly has been working in this business for such a long time still be so humble.
Yep.
And Gina Rodriguez, also really nice. And she called me a superhero because I am a mom. And
yay.
She was like, what you do is awesome. And I'm like, oh, my God, thank you. And I had Channing with me. And she was just very complimentary of Channing.
As she should be.
It was a really nice junket. And cool. The movie itself is very, very sweet and lovely. And like, I think it's going to be
a good family movie.
It's a great family movie. I think it's going to be like a family tradition for a lot of people. I really do. Because it's all about the Christmas story. It's
yeah.
told through the perspective of the animals. It's good music. Kelly Clarkson's in it. For like a hot second.
Is there like a wisecracking hip hop sheep or something? Or
no.
a funny hedgehog? Or
no, but there is
voiced,
a sheep.
Voiced by Gilbert Gottfried?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Is there?
It's kind of like that. Let me see, because now I kind of want to know who played the sheep. It was Aidy Bryant. I knew that was her. There's another one. That's another one that kills me. Now I'm still bitter again. It's like eight.
And
I
we're
was
back to the we're entitlement. Back to this.
We told. Did you say entitlement?
No.
I will punch you in the balls. It's not entitlement. It's jealousy.
Much better.
Aidy Bryant is another one that frustrates me because I was told for years by my agent, one of my first agents out here, you'll never make it on Saturday Night Live because you're too old and you're too fat. And I was 30 at the time, same age as Aidy Bryant, basically. And I was way skinnier than Aidy Bryant was, too. But I was told that. He's like, you'll never make it because you're too old and you're too fat. So I kind of gave up on the dream to ever be on Saturday Night Live, which I would have been, I think it would have been a great show for me to do because all those wackadoodle characters are like right up my alley.
That's pure sketch.
It speaks to the power that people in this industry have with their words and with their, you know, their power. You know, it's it really does because with him telling me that, it kind of was like, oh, I kind of took it. And I don't usually take people at their face value. Like I tried actually, I think I remember reaching out directly to Brillstein Gray, the management company that handles a lot of the deals with SNL. They have like first look deals. Yep. And I remember reaching directly out to them because I don't generally take no for an answer. I find a way to do something myself.
Yep.
And nothing came of it, obviously, because I was small taters. But yeah, it's very frustrating the what happens with people's words and the people who are supposed to be
well in this industry in your industry. It's a weird headspace.
Yeah.
You know, it's all ego and perception. And if someone can say even the tiniest, I don't want to say disparaging, but you know, negative or contrary thing, it will get in your head and you can't not think about it.
Well, that's why, like, there's so much happening right now, obviously, with the sexual harassment stuff and the sexual assault, everything that's coming to light and people are coming out
it's
of
like
the
It's like an avalanche right now.
It is a complete avalanche.
Yeah.
I mean, every day it's like, what's next? What's next? Like, yesterday, Rebel Wilson tweeted about some director or some actor wanting her to put her finger up his butt or something. And I'm like, who? That's what I want to know is, like, who are these people?
Well, apparently it's everybody.
Apparently it's literally everybody. You cannot go anywhere. I posted an article that was like, woman reports Tom Hanks as nice. And I was like, oh, thank God. I swear if freaking Tom, if it comes out that Tom Hanks like sexually harassed somebody, I'm like, I'm done. I can't deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, now to be fair, I think a lot of the stuff that's coming out about the creeps in Hollywood, they're known creeps. Like, it's known that Kevin Spacey has been kind of a jerk and is a little, like, of a little bit of a creeper.
But now people are more empowered to say it.
Right.
People
Brett Ratner, like, everybody's known for years that guy's a jerk.
Yeah.
So I think that the bad, the negative stuff and all of that is just finally, like, everybody's talking about it now and it's coming to light.
Yeah, definitely.
But what's an interesting sort of side effect of that is I was reading an article about the CBS Diversity Showcase. CBS here in LA for years has had one of the top showcases for diversity.
Right.
And you had to be a minority or LGBT to kind of get in and whatever. It was a very popular showcase, very well attended. Many people got their careers launched because of it. Well, now it's coming out that the director, whose name was like, I think Rick Najeri or something, was sexually harassing to a lot of the actresses and actors that were in there. Mm. And then the woman from CBS, Fern Orenstein, who is the vice president of casting at CBS, was like a little bit of a racist. Mm. Like she would like... like approve sketches about slavery and like, you know, typecast people in these like horrible stereotypes. So what's happening, I think, as a result of the Weinstein effect is not just people coming forward with claims of Me Too and sexual harassment and in the industry, but also like, hey, you know what else isn't appropriate? This shit. And you know what else isn't appropriate? This. And there's like layers and layers that are being peeled back. Of people going, what's been happening for years in this town is not okay. And we're going to finally speak out and let the people in power know that it's not okay. What I would like to know then is what happens when all of these things come to light? Are those people, those men in power, positions of power, whether they're actors, directors, whatever, are they going to be replaced by mm-hmm. somebody who is worthy?
Or is it just going to
keep continuing? We're all going to be mad for like a hot second, and then...
And a new generation of perverts moves in.
Right.
Or something
like
that.
Or we move on to the next outrage thing. Like, you know, I remember... Yeah, it just seems like it just seems like a...
Well, there's a level of forgiveness in Hollywood.
Look at Mel Gibson.
I was going to bring that up exactly. He's mm-hmm. in a big movie this weekend.
Yeah.
Or next weekend or whenever it opens. But yeah, he was forgiven. You know, Roman Polanski. You know, there's lists of names. I'm curious to see if that level of forgiveness will be there for these people. If it just takes some time and mm-hmm. suddenly 9 years down the road, Kevin Spacey's back
right.
on TV.
Right. Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. I mean, honestly, yes, look at Mel Gibson. That man spewed crazy hate on the side of the road in Malibu.
Alec Baldwin, too. Alec Baldwin did some very similar weird stuff.
I don't think Alec Baldwin said anything racist or anything like that.
He
yelled at his daughter on the phone. He called her a pig.
It was incredibly disparaging, right? But
yeah, but at the same time...
But that was forgiven in a hot second.
Well, because it's a dad yelling at his spoiled daughter. He did take it too far,
yeah.
But at the same time, like, we may have that same conversation with our daughter.
That's true.
And I really hope that some of the things we say to her are not recorded. Ooh. I don't remember Alec Baldwin getting involved in anything racist, though, or...
Something's in my head about it, but I'm not sure. I don't want to speak out of turn.
I think he's just a very outspoken man.
Mm-hmm.
What makes me sad, too, about the Mel Gibson, I'm going to look up when that racist rant happened. I really liked Mel Gibson.
Everyone did.
It was 2006.
Yeah.
And this year, he's been nominated for an Oscar and is starring in Daddy's Home 2.
Yeah.
So it took about 10 years for everybody to go, nah, it's cool. We're okay with him.
Well, to be fair, though, he was still working in that 10-year span,
but not as high of a profile.
Yeah,
he was, but not as prominently, that's for sure.
Because he's still a name.
Yeah.
He still brings people in.
I guess we forgive him enough to put him in a major movie with Mark Wahlberg, Will Ferrell, and John Lithgow. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing, and we should talk about Louis C.K. too, because I know we were both insane
yeah.
fans of Louis C.K. I've talked about him many times on this show. I've written about his comedy on my podcast. I had his producing partner.
Yeah.
On my podcast last year, and we talked about what an advocate he was for women and for families when he's running his set and his show and all of that.
Yeah.
His apology it did not sit well with people. And I think that
Why didn't it, I wonder?
I think because a lot of women felt like he didn't really apologize. Like, he kind of was like, I've hurt a lot of people. I shouldn't have whipped my dick out. Like,
right.
He was profane in it. And like, but he never said, I am so sorry for what I did to these women.
He did take accountability for it.
Yeah, you know, he owned up to it.
He said,
I think you can't not at this point.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
you can't say, no, I didn't do this when everyone knows you did. So he, to his credit, he did take accountability for it. But you're right, in his apology, quote unquote apology, there wasn't much of an apology there. It's just more of a...
He just admitted. He said, yeah, I did this.
He did say, I need to take a look at myself and, you know, figure out what's going on and see, you know, I have some work to do on myself, was basically the gist of his statement. But you're right, there wasn't much of an apology.
Yeah, and he kept saying, like, yeah, I showed these women my dick. It's like, okay, now what? No, a lot of women did not accept it. I posted on my Facebook page and it kind of ignited a little bit of a conversation. I like to pose questions. I very rarely will go, this is absolutely 100% right. And this is absolutely 100% wrong.
Right.
In my nature, they do. It's too much black and white. Like, no, this is where I draw the line in the sand, blah, blah, blah. By my nature, I like to pose questions because I like to analyze and I like to think and I like to see all sides of things.
Yes, well, you should.
But I think people can't do that. We're living in a world right now where everything is black and white. Like, you either did this and we hate you, or you didn't and we love you.
The people I want to talk to do that.
Right. Right.
I don't like the black and white statements either, especially, you know, in the shadow of this last political season, everything was so black and white.
Yeah.
You go to social networks and it's like this way or that way, this way or that way. There was never any in between. Now, granted, in this political season, there wasn't much room for gray.
Right.
A lot of the stuff that was going on was kind of black and white,
right,
in my opinion. But I still tried to stay away from those kind of arguments. I don't like getting involved in those kind of discussions online.
No, and it's so hard online. I mean, because everything is literally like black and white. And
well, and speaking of entitlement, everyone is entitled to their own damn opinion online.
Sure.
And they are right.
It's like, it's my Facebook page. I say what I want.
Exactly.
On my Facebook page.
Exactly.
It's like their own little corner of the world. Facebook has sort of become like everybody's little daily blog.
Twitter too, for that matter.
But like, mostly Facebook, that's where people go to blog and vent their opinions. And I'm like, well, you just get a website and put it on there. But it's where you can go and have immediate interaction with people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember hearing years ago something about Jen Kirkman, comedian Jen Kirkman, mm-hmm, being silenced because she had made comments about Louis C.K. jerking off to people. And like,
yeah,
she was got like a lot of pushback from other male comedians who were like, hey, don't mess with Louis. He's like the big dog. Like, you know,
right.
He's
he had a lot of power.
He had a lot of power. And like, people like bullied her. Men bullied her into silence. I want to go as far as even say that maybe his manager stepped in and said something as well, like, hey,
maybe
shut up.
Yeah, I've heard accusations about Louis C.K.
But that was the first time I had heard it. So, and I kind of thought, oh, you know, I honestly didn't think much about it. I was like, well, you know, who knows? Maybe he got inappropriate with someone and whatever. But to read the stories that it's like an ongoing, like, all the time.
This was a thing.
Many situations. Like, at some point, you have to go, That's not like a one-off deal, like, where, hey, I got drunk one night and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Which also is not okay, but I think in his case, like, there's seriously a problem. He has a problem.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think so. And
he does need mental help.
And that's what he kind of addressed in his statement. He said, I have to look at myself, mm-hmm, which I can appreciate, but, you know, again.
Do you think it's too little too late?
Maybe.
I don't know that I'll be able to, like, laugh at his jokes again.
Yeah, I'm such a fan of his stand-up and his comedy, but now, with this taint, mm-hmm, I don't know that I could watch one of his specials again.
No.
And enjoy it, because there's that cloud hanging over it now. So.
Yeah, like, it would feel like a huge betrayal to all those women he jerked off on or forced to look at his dick, you know? Like, it would just feel like a huge betrayal of them and, like...
Well, that's kind of the nature of his comedy, too. He talks about shit like that all the time.
But that's like going like, hey, if I talk about it, then, you know, obviously I couldn't be doing it. You know,
oh, yeah.
That sort of thing. So there's that, you know, that came out that was a big one for me this week. And then also I have to talk about the Anthony Edwards blog post. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. I, for the first time, cried during all of this stuff that's coming out about molestation and sexual predators in the industry. For the first time I cried because Goose.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards.
Yep.
Talked about how when he was 12 years old in the business, a man named Gary Goddard, repeatedly sexually molested him for years and raped his friends. Like, he had a group of like five fellow actor buddies.
Mm.
He would, apparently this man takes young actors under his wing as a mentor or father figure or whatever, and he just rapes them.
Oh my God.
Like, molested them.
I did not hear about that post.
And he did that to Anthony Edwards, and it destroyed that little boy.
Yeah.
He because it went on for years. And he said his mother, you know, asked him about it, but he was too ashamed and too embarrassed to admit it because his mom kind of suspected something was going on. And he was like, no, nothing. So he talked about how he blamed himself and how it's something he struggled with for a very, very long time. And he went on to have, you know, a successful career yeah. and all of that. But he's also been in therapy for many, many years.
Wow.
And I'm just like, I can't. And this is something Gary Goddard has been accused of by many people. There's been rumors for many years that this man has done this to.
Is he still alive?
He is best friends with Bryan Singer.
Oh.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Right. So that right there is like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on in this town? Where are we just like raping and molesting children and assaulting women? Like,
it's a power
shut
thing.
Shut it down. Like this whole business should be shut down. And I honestly, for the first time ever, felt like
icky.
And I thought, why am I a part of this? How can I go on this podcast every week and talk about how much I love movies and I love TV shows and have these great stories with moms and blah, 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 when this shit is happening in this town? Like, it feels very icky.
Yeah.
And so I have been questioning a lot, like, do I want to continue in this business? Is there anything good? Is anybody not raping someone? Where are those people? And how can I work with them? My question.
Yeah. It's valid.
If you get a chance, read the Anthony Edwards thing. It's very heartbreaking, and it's very, I mean, he's a grown man now, and
yeah, with a long career behind him.
With a long career behind him, and to be carrying around a dark secret like that, and like to know that your friends were also molested and raped and stuff, is just awful. And, you know, people ask me all the time, do you think you want Channing to go into this business? And I'm like,
nope.
And if she did, I would never leave her side. I could never. It would be a lifelong commitment. I would never leave her side, because Ellen Page wrote a story about going to, she was invited at 16 years old to a dinner with a director who was wanting to cast her in one of his films that would like make or break her career or whatever. I thought maybe it was Candy. Do you remember Candy?
Candy, yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, and how he got drunk or I don't know if he was drunk, but anyway, he told her like he basically wanted to sleep with her. He goes, but you have to make the move because I can't, otherwise I'll get in trouble, you know, kind of a thing.
Ugh.
But if she came onto him, you know, and I was just like, she's 16.
Yeah.
Why is she going to a dinner with a director alone? Like, I think there's also a misconception that these kids are, because they have a career, because they're starring in movies, that they're adults. They're not adults. They're still children. Nope. When I was 16, I could barely get myself to my job at the Gap. Like, I can't imagine going to dinner with a director who said, you make the move. I would be like, okay.
You know, and we've talked about this before also. With Channing, we have discussed, we're in Hollywood. She's a beautiful girl, very obviously talented, super smart. Would we like her to be in this industry? And we're not going to force her to go into the industry. We're not going to put her out there. If it's a decision that she wants to make later on as she gets older, she can. With guidance.
Do you kind of love that she told us the other day she wants to be a rock and roll star?
I love that. She wants to she wants to play the tar.
She wants to play the tar and do rock and roll. But Channing does scary rock and roll.
She does like Norwegian death metal.
She does. She was like, this is what I would sing. And we're like, whoa, what, where did you hear rock and roll like that? Rock and roll. however,
my little rocker chick,
I'd support my baby, whatever she wants to do.
Well, yeah, of course, it's got to be her decision. We don't want to, I mean, we have friends that have kids, and
at
they
at the same time, though, I don't think that a 4 or 5 year old or even a 7 or 8 year old really can go truly, I'm going to be an actor, and then subscribe to that career at 8 years old. If I was doing what I told my mom I wanted to be when I was 8 years old, I would be Carol Burnett's sidekick.
Yeah. Like, well, you know, we're in...
That's what I wanted to do.
We're in Hollywood, though. We're in L.A., and she's going to grow up and have friends that might be in a commercial, might be, you know, on a show whatever. Yeah. And she'll have that experience, so she'll know that it's there, so she may have an interest. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, fine. But, you know, with guidance. You know, we have friends that have kids that their kids have agents.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting their one-year-old in, trying to put their one-year-old in commercials and stuff like that.
That just makes me cringy, because I think some people are having babies just so they can put their kids in commercials. And I'm like, okay. If people want to find a way into this industry, no matter how gross and how many horrible stories we hear, people still want to do it. I still want to do it. I still want to be an actor. Sure. Although I will say I'm definitely losing a little bit of the luster and love that I have for this industry because I've been doing this for 12 years now. Nothing's happening. I'm not getting cast in Shazam.
True.
So it's like, at what point do we just go, fuck it, I'm 41. Let's just do a podcast forever.
You could.
Talk about other people who are making it.
Well, I mean, until you get to that point where you don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
You no longer have the passion. You no longer have the desire. I see you when you're on set. Uh-huh. I see you when you get up at 5 a.m. to go drive to whatever set and you love it.
I do love
you it. You actually love it. You come home and you're glowing.
I love it so much.
Even if it's just one line in some stupid show that no one's going to see.
Yeah.
You still love it. The hair and makeup, the cameras, the lights.
I just like making people laugh and you know, that sort of thing. I will love it.
And as long as you have that
desire.
Don't
worry, guys. I'm not leaving this business anytime soon, but I'm mad at it.
There you go.
I'm mad at this business. I'm very excited for my birthday this week. We are going to go exploring in the Palm Springs area. So everybody, make sure you follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Motherhood in Hollywood and over on the Twitter at Heather Brooker because I've got some very fun things planned for my birthday adventures, and I don't want you to miss it. I hope we haven't bummed you out about Hollywood.
It went on a tangent, didn't it?
It did, but I feel like it's a tangent that's worthwhile and that everybody's talking about, and it's valid timing, you know?
Yeah, it's a good discussion to have.
All right, well, thank you for your time, Chris Brooker.
Of course. I was doing literally nothing else. I was literally outside in the hallway, and you said, hey, come here for a second.
That's
threw a
right.
mic at
That's
me.
That's not what happened. I told you a little while ago. Anyway, I love you, Chris Brooker. I almost said I love you, everybody. I love you guys. Hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.